We enjoyed a quick trip down, not down, up map-wise, up to Colorado. And elevation-wise, it was down for your benefit, okay? Although we did go over some high passes. And I got an opportunity to see our kids and a little foster child that a couple of our oldest and his wife are taking care of. The challenges of three-year-olds when they're not yours is interesting, is very interesting. But anyway, it's good to be back, and I'm glad to be out of that car seat, boy. Somebody's getting old. I don't know who it is, but anyway, those trips seem to get longer and longer as the days progress. But it is good to be back with you today. And I'm just so excited to have the Armor Heirs here. I hope that you'll enjoy it, and they're going to sing for us at the close of the message, so you can stay awake. But if you do fall asleep, I'm sure they might wake you up at the end of the service, okay? So you'll be able to exit, but they're going to be back here at 6 o'clock tonight. Invite your enemies, neighbors, friends, cats, dogs. Leave the cats and dogs unless they're helping you, okay? Also, I'd like to encourage you to bring a generous love offering for them. They have been on the road. Their ministry is to us and to other congregations, and your generous offering tonight will be a blessing to them. We have, we've got food planned for afterwards. So, amen. We're going to plan cheese and crackers. No, we got good food planned. So come on out. Several of you have signed up for that. Please be sure to bring that tonight. One of my hobbies since leaving the farm is to see what I can grow wherever I have been. And, that can be interesting. Quite often it has been a flop. I tried to raise some potatoes down in the pure sand of Deming, New Mexico. It didn't work. I think there's several reasons. Anyway, moving along, we're always throwing scraps out, and whenever something does manage to sprout from the seeds of the scraps, I have a horrible time killing it. I just am curious. I wonder what this will turn out to be. I wonder what it would taste like if I let it go. And fortunately, sometimes that turns out a good thing. I used to save the tomato plants and have oodles of tomatoes back in Missouri. They almost took over the place. We'd have a table out front. People could come by and just pick up tomatoes as they wanted to. And we also had some trees that survived. Of course, with a tree, you have to wait several years before they start producing. We've had apricot trees and lots of peach trees through the years. Sally keeps putting up with my farm boy experience. And so we've always had a little bit of extra being able to share with the people around us. Of course, that takes some care, takes a lot of patience, a little extra attention, but we have benefited in the long run from those various plants and trees that have produced. You know, God bless many of you with children. How many of you have had children? Yeah. Wasn't it fantastic? You better say yes. And for some of you, it still is. Although there is also a lot of attention, a lot of care, a lot of diapers in the early days, a lot of tantrums, other things that you have to endure as the years progress. But with dedication, commitment, education, eventually we get those kids raised up, right? And turn them loose, and to a certain degree, most of them are free to do what they want to do at that point. But it seems like sometimes they keep coming back and asking questions. But it's much better in the latter years than the previous years. Our greatest challenge is to not only take care of their physical, mental, and emotional, social well-being, but also their spiritual well-being. Scripture is very clear about directing parents to raise their children up to be godly people, individuals, mature adults, to raise them, teach them about the love of God, the commitment of God to us, and our return of commitment and love and service to the living God and to the Savior who saved us. The education of children doesn't stop at a given age. You know, every one of us who walked into this building are a child. We're a child of God. And as children of God, we must continue to be learning. God commands us to grow in Jesus Christ. God warns us that Satan is stalking, he is hounding us, he is trying to lure us into the worldly lust, the worldly greed, the desires, the weaknesses that each of us have. And so we have to be on our guard. We are not fully mature. If there's anybody fully mature, I'd like to talk to you. You know, we think as we get the years on us that I'm an adult. But then, in the presence of God, who are we? We're still a child. Our very best is not very good compared to our eternal Father. All of God's righteousness is presented for us in Holy Scripture. And Scripture says that no human outside of incarnate God can walk in a perfect righteousness on their own. We must grow in Jesus Christ. As we conclude this series of sermons from the books of 1 and 2 Peter, who was an eyewitness to Jesus, who was privileged to walk with Jesus, the Apostle Peter ends his letter with an assignment for each one of us that we are called to fulfill. What is that? We are called to grow in Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at this passage. We're starting at chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verses 14 through 18, the final words that we have from the Apostle Peter. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, which is the end of time that he's talked about previously, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. As also in all his letters, speaking to them as of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So the Apostle Peter closes out his words, the final written words we have from the Apostle Peter. Grow, grow, grow. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Thank you, Father, for giving to us, preserving for us the Holy Scriptures. We thank you that your truth, your word, abides forever. Father, let it live in us. Father, I pray that each one of us will hunger and thirst after your word, your truth, your righteousness, that we would desire to truly be your children, pleasing in your sight, wanting to honor and glorify you in all things, in all ways. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather today, for the freedom to do so. We do pray for our land, for the people who are dealing with the sicknesses, ailments, frailties of the flesh, those unable to be with us today. Touch them, help them, let us minister to them. But Father, for those who need to get out and to hear your word, we pray that they would do so, that they would seek out the church family, other believers, and study your word and be found faithful before you return. Father, we ask that you would speak to us in our hearts. Let your spirit move us, guide us in your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thought that I want to touch on from the Apostle Peter is grow in peace. Grow in peace. In verse 14, he touches on this thought. The command is to be diligent to be found growing in God's purity and righteousness as a people of peace. Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with who? You. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Jesus gives us his peace. It's a peace different from the world. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Peace. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Some of you are still awake. I'm glad to hear that. Peace. God is the author of peace. He gives us peace. He wants us to have peace. But we do not make peace with Satan, with sin, or anyone who is promoting corruption. Ephesians chapter 5 opens with commands for us to walk in God's love. Yes, we are to be a people of love. But we're not to be a people at peace with sin and corruption. Immediately, we are warned to not walk with false and deceptive Christians who refuse to obey Jesus Christ. People who pervert the message of Jesus Christ. Verse 11 commands us to expose that corruption. Let's turn over there to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let your fingers do the walking through the holy pages. Amen? Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God. Hey, I wonder if I've ever heard that before. The armor of God. And be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the day, the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore. The full armor of God. God's word, God's truth, God's righteousness must be totally surrounding our life. We must be living in the word of God, not in the ways of wickedness and sin. A few other examples in verse 16 and 17. Peter again warns believers to guard against any person who perverts, twists, or denies God's word. Go back to chapter 2 of 2 Peter. We've already gone over that. We're not going to preach on it again. Go back and refresh your memory. Peter warns us about false teachers, false prophets. Jesus commands in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 and following, that the church ensures devotion to Jesus Christ to work through problems. But then if somebody refuses to obey the commands of Jesus, yes, we must excommunicate those individuals as a last resort. But we cannot endure perversions. Those who refuse to repent, we cannot be at peace with. We still love them. We still want the best for them. But we cannot walk one with evil and corruption. Jesus constantly had conflict with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, who claimed that they were righteous, but they were not. Go back and read your gospel letters. Was there peace in the house when there were the enemies of Jesus and Jesus standing there? No, he called them out. Jesus identified their corruption and their sin and called them whitewashed tombs. He called them hypocrites. He called them liars. He called them thieves. He called them fools, and he called them several other things because they were because they were perverting the truth of God. And Jesus didn't walk as best buddies with them. He did not walk in peace with those who perverted the truth of God. We must still guard against false and deceptive teachers or leaders who claim to be Christian, but they ignore Scripture and righteousness. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 declares that those individuals are under God's curse. I don't want to be under God's curse. Do you want to be under God's curse? Just go out there and do whatever everything else everybody else is doing. Be at peace with them. That's what the bumper sticker says. Let's all be one together, right? No. If we're going to be God's people, we're going to be different. We're going to be holy. We're going to be pure in righteousness. We pursue peace. We promote peace. But it's got to be God's way. Not just anything that comes and goes. The two greatest commands of God are what? Love God and love the people around us. That's found back in Matthew chapter 22, as well as several other passages. But the more these rules of God are rejected in our American culture and the world, the more the corruption and the sin will increase. The eternal God of righteousness is being replaced by many of our leaders who are serving the deceiver, Satan himself, instead of serving the God of life. The deceiver is the one who still steals, he lies, he kills, he destroys all that is good. And we cannot be at peace with that. Can we? Should we promote and stand with all that is evil and corrupt? I would say no. We must grow in peace with God and not with the corruption, deception, and the evil that Satan is promoting. Humanity's problems are not solved with more money. They're not solved with more human control, more inspections, more surveillance, more rules. The remedy is for everyone to recognize that they must answer to the Lord God Himself. Their Savior is one Savior who has always been the Savior. He is Jesus. And we must encourage and call for people to come to who? Jesus. Put their life in the hands of the living Lord and Savior. Judgment Day is coming and everyone will be judged by who? Jesus Christ. And so our life depends on Jesus. Only those who pursue Him will live. Isaiah chapter 57, verses 18 through 21 is one of God's rules. Let's go back there. We don't read from the Old Testament enough, probably. But Isaiah chapter 57, I got my bookmark in the wrong spot. How do you like that? 57, verse 18 through 21. Isaiah 57, verse 18 through 21. Listen to this. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners, creating the praise of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up refuse and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. God wants to give you his peace. Peace. Wonderful peace. But you have to come to him. You have to obey him in all things. Pursue him. Love him with your entire heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he will grant you peace that lasts for how long? Forever. Let's encourage each other to be a peaceful people, to walk in his peace, to walk in his righteousness. But it has to be in the righteousness of Jesus Christ in order to have that peace. In verse 18, we are called to grow in grace, to be gracious. And we've already heard encouraging words for us to be a gracious people as we deal with a lot of people who are mean to us, who don't think before they act, who do corrupt things. Yes, we need to be a people of grace. Grace is defined as unmerited favor or giving when it's undeserved or unearned. You know, my childhood home is located up in Idaho, and we were about 500 feet off of a major highway in southwest Idaho, and where we were located was at the base of a long, long hill. We were down at the bottom in Hartley Gulch. And one cold winter evening, we were sitting eating supper, and looking out through the windows, we saw a car spinning, coming down the road on the slick highway, and went into the ditch. There, just right out the window, out there on the highway. Well, my dad put on all of his coat, nice warm clothes, and went out in the frigid night. A few minutes later, he brings back this family that had gone off the road. Total strangers. Never seen them before. Didn't know who they were. And God announced, we're going to help this family. They're going to stay overnight. You kids, you move to the beds. And everybody's got a bed. Okay? Alrighty. Total strangers. A whole family was brought into the house. And I learned a lesson of being a gracious individual for my parents. How many times do we see people in need and we let fear control us? We need to be wise, but we also need to be trusting in God, believing in His ways, His truth, His life. God's ways ruled my parents' hearts with grace, compassion, love, and goodness. Next morning, early, we were out, borrowed the neighbor's tractor, pulled the car out, and away the family went. And about a month later, we got a package in the mail. A bunch of goodies from this family who had been helped in their time of need. There is a reward for serving God. Sometimes it's now, but most importantly, it will be in heaven. And we need to remember, God takes care of His children. Does God take care of you? I don't believe you believe it. Does God take care of you?
Amen.
Amen. God sent Jesus into a wrecked world to save broken people who are out of control, spinning out of control. And if we would just receive Him, we find life. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it how much? Abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And Jesus died so that we could live. God's holy ways are strange to sinful people because our ways of thinking are perverted. They're twisted. We don't think that they're twisted, but that we're just messed up people. Haven't you been a messed up person? Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't put you on the spot, should I? Scripture calls us sinners. We don't understand all of God's ways. But Jesus came to graciously transform our thinking, heal us, fix our twisted minds, to give us a new mind to think the way God thinks. He even helps us with our bodies sometimes when He thinks it needs to be fixed. Isn't that good to know? And He's promised to fix us forever. Perfectly. I'm looking forward to that. Amen? He promises to be with us always if we'll just trust Him and walk with Him and learn His ways. Jesus graciously went to the cross to pay for our sin. And not just ours, but the sin of every person in the world. Every person who walks on this earth, the worst, and the people that we consider the best. Because in God's eyes, there's no best. We're all sinners, and we all needed help. Jesus paid for all the disobedience, and He will accept every person who comes to Him. So we need to be a people of grace, reaching out to people that we think, man, they're goners. Are they goners? Maybe this is their day of salvation, if we'll just reach out and graciously invite them, share with them, encourage them to find Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of your works, not that anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God wants us to be good people who are gracious, serving Him, trusting in Him. You and I did not deserve this gift of life that Jesus gave to us. And we must guard our hearts against denying any other person from receiving the message of hope and grace in Jesus Christ. We need to be careful in saying, I'm sorry, you're just too far gone. There's no hope for you. Where would we be if Ananias had not gone to the house where Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church? Saul said, I heard about that guy. He kills Christians. Are you sure about this? Go. He's a chosen servant of mine. There's some chosen servants of God still waiting to hear the message of hope. And you may be the messenger. Trust God. God sends every Christian into this corrupt world to be gracious in the name of Jesus Christ. We're the representatives of Jesus here now in a world filled with lost sinners who still need help. Your gracious efforts to help may be rejected, probably will be rejected by the most, the majority, but there are a few out there who are just waiting to hear of life and hope in Jesus Christ. Look for ways that you can be gracious to people around you, just as God was gracious to you. The third point we find in verse 18 is grow in knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. I wasn't the best student in school. I'm sure all of you were perfect A students yourselves, right? You know, I really dreaded going to school. I carried my homework home. And then I carried it back to school. Carried my books home. Carried them back to school. Did I open them? Well, that's a whole other subject. Too many other things that had to be done in life, you know. And I was so glad when I graduated. Boy, I was looking forward to senior graduation. I finally graduated, and then real life hit. And I thought that my high school graduation would be the day that all of my problems would end. Who needs college when you can raise pigs? Right? That's what I thought. But I soon discovered otherwise, that God had more. And after 5 decades, I have realized that I don't have enough time to learn everything I want to learn. There's so much more that I need to learn. And I don't have enough time. I hope that you have discovered there's more that you can learn. But it takes commitment to follow Jesus. The Apostle Peter challenges you and me to learn more about our Creator, about our Savior. There's so much out there. If we'll just take the time. God is the source of all true knowledge. He gave you a mind to waste? No, a mind to use. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 has these words. If you seek understanding as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discover the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Where do you go to learn? The internet? Watch out. The news? Watch out. The scripture? Wake up. God provided the Bible for us to learn from it. He's protected it through the thousands of years, multiple efforts to destroy it. And he tells us his word abides for how long? Forever. Peter quoted Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, reminding us that the word of the Lord abides forever. This word is our lamp. It's our guide. It's our protection from deception. Say that six times quick. It leads us to eternal life in the presence of God. Jesus fought the temptations of Satan by quoting Scripture. The very first commandment that he gave in the fighting the temptations is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Our soul needs a regular diet of God's word in order to live today and forever. Are we eating? Are we having a banquet? Or are we starving our spiritual soul? Peter challenges us in verse 16 to study even the difficult passages. Did you notice that? He said, you know, the Apostle Paul, he writes some really tough stuff. A lot of people don't understand it. This is a Dave Rohrbaugh interpretation, okay? People get confused. A lot of people twist it up. But you need to learn it. Even the tough stuff. Don't eat just the dessert. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves us, but there is more. We must grow in the knowledge of God for our own benefit as well as for the benefit of the people we run into. People are going to ask you questions and you kind of look at them with the, you know, deer in the headlight look like, I think I'm supposed to know that answer, but I'm not sure if I know that answer. Study God's word. Know it so that you can answer. So you can rightly divide the truth of God. Grow in Jesus Christ in all of his attributes. Accept the invitation of Jesus Christ, obeying all of his commands. Become a child of God. If you haven't been committed to the Lordship of Jesus, do it today. Start now. Don't delay. Get in Jesus. Don't just know about Jesus, but get into Jesus the way he says. If you have questions about it, you know what the answers are and you've been putting it off, you need to talk to one of the elders, myself. We'd be glad to help you, encourage you, direct you. But don't put it off. Are you growing up spiritually to become the mature person God wants you to be? Or are you still on a baby bottle, eating baby food, still stuck on just one verse? Yes, Jesus loves me. That is true, but there's more. Pray with me. Thank you, Father, for your words of life. We thank you for the dedication of the Apostle Peter and all the other individuals, for those who have written your word, who were open to your guidance, who sacrificed their lives to serve you. They sacrificed their life here, but you have told us, you promised us there is so much more to come. And if we would just follow Jesus, we have an eternity in perfection promised to us. Father, for those who need to make commitments, touch their heart, move in their heart, lead them and guide them to your well of life through Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.